All right, welcome back to another Let's Make a TTRPG Thing. In this case, we are making a Cypher character, a player character to be specific. NPCs have different stat blocks in the, well, in the old Cypher and the new Cypher. My name is Crash, and I do this series to get myself off of my butt, figuratively speaking at least, to get some prep work done for whatever games I intend to be running with my home group. And some people like coming along for the ride, so here we go. All right, so as you can tell by the art, if you are watching the video version, we are going to be making a Fox Cleric today. The art is public domain. It was made by mashing together some public domain resources that I found on openclipart.org, and I uploaded the remix of it to openclipart.org, so that's all public domain. It'd be kind of weird if I applied a copyright to that, wouldn't it? But everything else we're doing today is going to either be under the Cypher Open License, which is provided by Mindcook Games, because they own Cypher System. Well, Cypher now, the new version, Cypher 2, or C2, or whatever people want to call it, is not called Cypher System anymore, because people kept calling it Cypher System, and that was kind of weird. But anything made by me that I assert ownership of at all is going to be under a Filthy Human Hands License, which, for the average person that isn't doing tons of stuff with AI or isn't representing a company of 50 or more people, it's Creative Commons attribution. Give me credit and you can do what you want with it. So, with that said, I'm going to press a button to go to Obsidian. We're using Obsidian to do all of this because Obsidian's a really neat tool that I like a lot. And while it itself is closed source, it saves the files in Markdown. There's no encryption involved onto your home computer. So you have all the stuff accessed right there. If Obsidian went evil tomorrow, I would still have all my stuff. And we're starting off with our core character template that I made. All these templates and the art and everything will be in a zip file that I have uploaded to the internet. And there'll be a link to that. There'll be no hope, but I can speak. There'll be no hoops to jump through other than following the link in the notes provided for this episode, and then clicking the button to download the zip file. Those should be the only hoops required. You'll see that this is Patreon, but I have that one marked as free to the public. The only reason this stuff's on Patreon is because it's easier for me to upload something every time I make a change. So we've got this set up. We are going to make a copy of this, make a copy, and we're going to name this PC20, because it's 20th PC, Fox Cleric, right? And now that we've done that, we are going to get our art for the Fox Cleric. I think it should be this one. There's three versions of the file. There's the token one, which is a circle. And yeah, sometimes things will stick out of the circle, but they never stick out enough to go beyond the top edge of the circle, so to speak. So they still work as token art in a VTT, because fun fact, even if there are circle tokens in VTTs, they're actually square tokens, but never mind about that. The token art, the full body art, if I am able to do that, there have been times where I wasn't because of some technical glitches, and the SVG file. You, dear listener, if you go to that zip file, you get all three of those. I'm going to close that sidebar. There we go. And we already know they're going to be a cleric. I'm just going to write that in now. I don't always do that. And we are going to add 6-point split between might, speed, and intellect below. I am going to add 3 to might to take that up to 11. And I'm going to add 3 to intellect, take that up to 11. And now I'm going to delete that note to future me, because I am future me. And we are going to go on to the next thing, which is picking 2 of our skills. We'll probably have a few more, but we get 2 at this stage of character creation if we're doing things in order. I will get out of order in a little bit. So I am on the page that lists the fantasy skills. That is page 41 for those of you following along at home. At the time that this episode goes live for non-Patreons, the book might be available on Mindhood Games website for non-Backer Kit backers. Because I was looking at my scheduling like, oh wait, they said it's coming out in August. Now, officially, they said it was coming out in September, I want to say. But I got an email from them, and they gave a different timetable, so maybe they've updated things. But that said, this is 41 in the book, 43 of the PDF file, because cover and stuff count as pages. Right. So what do I want to give them? Well, religious lore seems kind of on the nose. It would be hilarious if they were a cleric who had no religious lore whatsoever. It's like, well, I pray to my deity and things happen, but they weren't, like, formally trained. They're just vibe clericking. Oh, a little part of me died inside by saying that out loud. Vibe anything, but regardless. So, religious lore, and if they get that through something else, I'll go back and add another thing off the fantasy skill list so that they're still getting all the skills expected and they're not doubling up. Recognizing motive sounds good. Intimidation. What kind of cleric do you want to be? Do you want to be the charming one or the intimidating one? The answer would be yes. Escaping, disguise, that would be hilarious. Deception, crafting. Let's go with charm. I know I get that often, but persuasion in D&D is a very powerful skill set. So, we have done our core character block, which is 8 points in each pool, 6 points added to the pools, choose two skills, and an optional third skill with an inability. Is there a skill here that I want to make them bad at? Oh, I just had a thought. Navigation. Let's make them really bad at navigation. They get lost easily. And navigation, so inability. All right. And now we give them one more because I was going back and forth between intimidation and charm. So we'll give them intimidation. There we are. So that one is done. Now, next up is going to be type. So they are a cleric, and that gives us a bunch of things. Let's look at our background options. In a moment of doubt a decade ago, you lost your faith. You spent all these years since making up for your sin. Your temple burned to the ground last year, and you still don't know how or why. This is very funny to me for in-joke reasons. That is incredibly funny to me. And yes, the reason why that's very funny to me is also uploaded as a podcast episode. But I look at the download numbers, so I'm not going to assume everyone knows why I think it's so funny. 1 month ago, you killed a demon-possessed fellow cleric of your order to save a child. Raised in a devout temple order, you're driven by compassion to heal those in need. 6 months ago, you recovered a gilt-edged holy book, but it remains magically sealed. The only survivor of a foray into a ruin 2 years ago, you still rarely speak of it. Ooh. Hand-selected by a deity to wander, your holy task is to root out forces of evil and unlife. You were recently released from lockup following a drunken brawl in a tavern. Why is it always a drunken brawl in a tavern? I mean, it's very rarely, but it's a stereotypical thing. I'm actually going to go with the book one because I don't want to say this one's an in-joke, but it kind of sort of is. There is a book that I gave one of my players in my penultimate D&D campaign. And let's put this in backstory here. Background. There we go. And 1 second, my cat is complaining and I need to see what's going on. I'm back. He was not in mortal peril. He was, in fact, in front of his favorite cat toy and I wasn't playing with him. So, as I was saying, character was a cobalt soul monk and they're really big on knowledge. And in his backstory, he had a book that he was told to protect and keep with him, but he wasn't told anything about it and he couldn't read it. And there is lore that I put behind that book that the player didn't know until after the campaign wrapped and I told him, and it scared him. So this might be the same book. I might have this be the same book. That would be hilarious to me. There's a lot more to that campaign, but it was a whole freaking campaign, so I'm not going to go over everything for this. We have our background. Now, cleric abilities. We gain all the following benefits. Able to take 2 more minor wounds and 1 more moderate wound. So we are not a tank. I suppose you could pick other things that would turn this not tank into a tank because they're moderately tanky. They're more tanky than the wizard, but still. 1 to might, 1 to speed, 2 to intellect. So might goes up to 12, speed goes up to 9, and intellect goes up to 13 for those of you trying to keep track at home who do not watch the video. Because, well, the video goes up to Patreon first. Well, that's where it first gets seen because Patreon patrons, thank you for supporting us. You get the content before anyone else does. Then the video goes live on my PeerTube. And then sometime down the road, the audio version goes live on aaronbsmith.com. So if you're not watching the video, but you want to, you've got two places you can go to. If you don't want to pay money, go to PeerTube. And if you are watching the video, but you just want an audio version you subscribe to as a podcast, then go to aaronbsmith.com and the RSS feed is there for the audio-only versions. Use whichever one is more convenient for you. I like audio-only ones. If someone's releasing the same content in video form and audio only, I usually pick the audio only. There's a very few exceptions to that. Now, with that said, edge in a pool of your choice, it's going to be intellect. I have a feeling that this is going to be a high int build. I haven't looked at what they do, but scrolling down, they've got 2 1-point intellect abilities right there that they're getting at tier one. So chances are. Freely use light and medium weapons and freely use all armor. So you're not going to see a cleric wielding a warhammer. However, you might see one in full plate. So we're going to add these under skills. And because I copy-pasted a bullet point, I have to fix that. There we go. We gain a weapon of our choice or accept the equipment bundle. So let's grab that equipment bundle and we're just going to put it here under equipment. A mace or hammer, it's going to be a mace. Appropriate clothing, chainmail armor. People talk about on occasion, well, what do I need the appropriate clothing? I've got armor. I'm like, there's going to be chafing. It will be bad. All those computer RPGs where you end up seeing, like, you go and loot the character and suddenly they're in the small clothes after you take their armor off. They were not having a good time. You gotta have clothing under the armor. So, chainmail armor, a backpack, a bedroll, 50 feet of rope, extra bandages, eases 4 healing tasks before being used up. Nice. Oh, I should probably give them the healing skill then, shouldn't I? If I don't already have it. Book of prayers, 2 torches, 3 days of rations and water, a tinderbox, and enough extra currency to buy a moderately priced item. My train of thought right now is that moderately priced item, if this character gets selected by one of my home group people to be their pre-made, then what we're going to do is I'm going to let them look through the equipment list and pick a moderately priced item and add it to it to help customize the character, make it be more theirs than mine. Because I'm giving them a starting point. This is not going to be the end point. One of my favorite characters to play, Randaw, in our GURPS Wars logistics campaign, is a pre-made. I had the hook given to me as the pre-made, but I have, I think at this point, spent more points leveling up skills than were put into him originally to make that character. Tier 3 and Tier 6, those are for future person running this character. And at Tier 1, we gain the following abilities. Combat prowess is the first one, so we're going to go to special abilities. This is our first special ability, and we're going to bold that. You add +1 damage to one type of weapon attack of your choice, melee weapon attacks or ranged weapon attacks. We are going to go with melee, so I'm going to bold melee. There's a line break there. I'm going to bold melee weapon attacks, the whole line. And we're going to do a strike through for ranged weapon attacks so we know what has been picked and not picked. Format strike through. There we go. And if someone picks this character and goes, no, actually, I've got a whole different idea for how I want to do this. Like, okay, well, you're making it less of a pre-made. Good. Making it more your character. And Divine Radiance is our next ability. Let's see if I can copy paste this correctly. and bold divine radiance. 1+ intellect. You channel divine influence to gain one of the following effects. And then it has this list here, which are all sub bullet points. Blessing. A target within a short range is charged with benevolent divine grace. At any point before they've taken their next 10-minute or longer recovery, they gain an asset to one action. Oh, it's fascinating. The cleric is now the D&D bard. Neat. And with effort, you affect 2 additional targets. And that is an action. Oh, this should be indented even more because those are modifying blessing. This is fighting with formatting. And I select all of this, mostly empty space, and apply it here. I can. Hey, there we go. So blessing, turn undead. Those are the only 2 things we've got, so I don't need to do that for a 3rd thing. All right. Turn undead. Up to 5 undead creatures of level 2 or less within a short range are blasted by divine radiance. Make separate intellect attack rolls against each target. Fascinating. Affected targets are repulsed and must spend their next turn fleeing your presence. If we spend effort, it affects 2 additional targets and increase the maximum level of undead you can affect by 1. That is an action. At tier 3, instead of causing affected targets to flee, you can make them unable to take actions for 1 turn. So it doesn't get as powerful as turn undead does in D&D, where lower level ones, you just turn them to dust. But, you know, not bad. Not bad at all. And our last one that we are adding here, Healing Hand, last of our 3 abilities that we get, which, okay, kind of 4 because Divine Radiance is 2 different abilities in a trench coat, and that's okay. So Healing Hand, with a touch, you reduce 1 wound severity. A healed minor wound is gone completely. 1 moderate wound becomes a minor wound. 1 major wound becomes a moderate wound. If a character is at their limit of lower severity wounds, you can't use this ability to reduce the severity of their wounds. So they have a moderate wound that you want to heal, and they have a bunch of, like, their minor wounds are all full up. You have to take care of one of the minor wounds to make room before you can take care of the major wound. So that is an interesting economy of healing. So this is a new paragraph. Each time you use Healing Hand, the intellect cost increases by 1. The cost returns to 1 after you take a recovery. Oh, any recovery. I could take an action recovery and reduce it back to 1. I can see how people might be able to play around with that to get things done. And by people, I mostly mean Ellie. Ellie is the one in our group who finds creative uses of game mechanics. Right, so we have done all of the things, I believe, for cleric specifically. And I am reserving the right to go back and change one of these skills that I gave myself at the beginning to healing because of the cleric starting equipment. But moving on, we are picking a descriptor now. So looking at the descriptors, virtuous, kind of on the nose, tough, strong-willed, strong, stealthy, skeptical, a skeptical cleric. A skeptical cleric. I like that as an idea. So if I click on skeptical, it does not work at all. It takes me to the thief write-up in fantasy genre, which is also not dungeon fantasy, which is what I've been doing with this. That's a different genre. So let's try this again, looking at the sidebar links instead, because that is an ongoing problem with this PDF where the links don't all work. Skeptical. There we go. You have a questioning attitude regarding claims that are often taken for granted by others. You are not necessarily a doubting Thomas. Oh, the religious implications are even funnier because it's a cleric. A skeptic who refuses to believe anything without direct personal experience, but you've often benefited from questioning statements, opinions, and received knowledge presented to you by others. You gain the following characteristics, +2 to your intellect pool, of course, and trained in identifying or recognizing motive. Okay, yes. We are gonna go with this. So we are a skeptical. And did I spell that wrong? Yes, I did. I put a K at the end. Why did I put a K at the end? Skeptical. That's not a word. Okay. That means we add two more to our intellect pool. It takes it up to 15. Respectful for a starting character. And we will be trained in recognizing motive. And technically, the way they write skill names on here, they don't capitalize every letter, which is why religious lore was lowercase here. But I'm going to make that be capital anyway, because here, I kind of like that formatting to do it that way. Even though it's messed up here, but don't look at that. It's fine. Just don't look at that. All right. Now, our focus. Who's got the focus? I mean, there's an option here for healing, but I already have that as an ability, as a cleric. So the question is, do I want to pick something else because of redundancy? Well, let's take a look at this list. Abides in stone, blazes with fire, I can speak. Builds allies, carries a gun, a cleric with a gun. Casts spells, changes shape, commands mental powers, consorts with the dead, controls beasts, crafts illusions, doesn't do much. Employs magnetism. It's the magnetic personality, clearly. Entertains, explores, fights dirty, fights unarmed, fights with panache. Fuses flesh and steel. Fuses mind and machine. Grows to towering heights. Howls at the moon. No. I've heard what the fox says, and it's terrifying. The howls are less terrifying than what the fox says. Hunts, infiltrates, leads, masters telekinesis. Masters weaponry, moves like the wind, never says die. If I can speak properly, never says die. Performs feats of strength. Quells evil. Let's take a look at quells evil. That sounds like a good idea. You are skilled in finding, destroying, and banishing undead demons and creatures of similar ilk. Oh my gosh, they're in X-Files. This is Scully. And they're a fox. No, of course, this is Fox Mulder. There have been a few X-Files episodes where Mulder was the one who was skeptical. And I liked those moments where it was like, no, he just doesn't believe everything as I hit the microphone. Okay, so yeah, we're going to do Quell's Evil and GM Intrusion. Some evil creatures are more powerful and resilient than they first seem. Too much evil contact risks contagion with evil influence. Ooh, that's not where I thought that was going to go. I thought it was going to be a case of, oh, hey, you didn't quite put someone down, now they're coming back for you for revenge. But this works too. This works too. All right. So we get to pick two of these abilities. Inspiring trust, sense evil, and tribulation. I think sense evil is a no-brainer for this. Tribulation, 1+ intellect. You conjure pure spiritual energy to blast up to 5 undead demons and creatures of similar ilk of level 2 or less in short range. I already have that. I already have that as a cleric, so we're not going to pick that one. We're going to do inspiring trust, allies in your presence that share your sense of good versus evil, add +1 to their recoveries. Considering cleric healer, yeah, this can work. But before I do that, before I forget, I'm going to change intimidation to healing. Is it healing? Is that what it's called? Where is my list of fantasy skills sorted alphabetically? Yeah, it's healing. I knew it had the root word of heal, but I didn't remember how it was written. All right, and that was one that I got just off of the list of fantasy skills, so I feel comfortable changing that because we're still in character creation. All right, special abilities. We are going to go down to here. We are going to press enter a bunch of times, and now we are going to copy over inspiring trust and sense evil. Because tribulation is a duplicate inspiring trust. We're going to bold that and copy that bullet point. And where is sense evil? Sense evil is right here. Bullet point it and bold it. And I deal with the line breaks while I'm reading it. Allies in your presence that share your sense of good versus evil, add +1 to their recoveries. And that is an enabler. Sense evil, when you use an action to perceive undead demons or creatures possessed by demons or creatures of similar ilk within immediate range, if you roll a 9 or less, treat the roll as a 9. That means you don't get a GM intrusion if you roll a 1, because it wasn't a 1 it was a 9, and I like how they add that clarification so the GM doesn't house rule it one way or the other. They don't have to. This ability lasts until you use a 10-minute or longer recovery. Oh, that could just go all day then if you don't need to use a recovery. Nice. If you use effort, you increase the minimum number rolled for this ability by 3. And this is an action to initiate. At tier 3, the minimum number rolled for this ability increases to 12. So basically like a free level of effort. Okay, awesome. That costs 2 intellect to use, but it lasts for a while. All right, I like that. I like that. Okay, so now we are up to the last part, which is one of my favorite parts of this series, where I have, my friends, been making a bunch of homebrew species descriptors. Because there are a bunch of species in the core book. Well, it's not called the core book now anymore, because there isn't a core book. There's 3 different books. But the Cypher Character Rulebook, which I have to look at the title every time I say that because I'm not used to calling it that yet. But the Character Rulebook has a bunch of species in there. In the fantasy section specifically, and in the sci-fi section specifically. And they're neat. But I like having a bit more variety. And I like the idea of there being a bunch of animal people wandering around doing things integrated into society because they're part of society. So rather than write up the stats for, and people who've been watching series for a while already know this, but if this is your first episode, hey, welcome. I'm not always just inarticulate. Sometimes I'm more, sometimes I'm less. Rather than, as I was saying, writing up, okay, well, here are the stats for a fox. Here are the stats for a badger. Here are the stats for a wolf. Here, I sorted them into categories. So we have currently, I have, well, construct isn't an animal person, but I roll up those stats too. Armored kin. So crabs, armadillos, even porcupines, turtles, anything that would have a tough outer layer to protect them. Avian kin, if you fly, that's one that I did not write up because the Arrak descriptor in the sci-fi section is on the nose for what I kind of wanted for avian. I couldn't come up with something better. So for that one, you just go to the rule book and say use that. Burrower, that's what we're going to be doing today because foxes have burrows. So this counts. Pack hunter, so any group of animals that hunts in a pack. Prowlers, so cats, panthers, any animal that hunts by itself that is built for ambush could fit into this category. Runners, you're more likely to be prey, but cheetah could fit into this category too. Cheetah could be in both. And you might say, well, which one do I pick? There's overlap there. Well, whichever one fits more with how you intend for the character to go. That's the answer. In original Cypher, there weren't any descriptors for species. In the Red Book, there were, but that was optional rules. The idea was, well, if you want them to be an elf, you just say they're an elf. You don't get anything extra for that. A swimmer, anything aquatic, doesn't have to be breathe underwater, could be like an otter. And kobold was the first one I did because kobolds are cool, dagnabbit. I might do some for like the other goblinoid species. I've done that for the previous cipher, but I don't know. But at this point, what we're going to do is I'm going to pause this recording and I am going to, this has moved over. There we go. I'm going to pause the recording. I'm going to write something up and then I'm going to come back and explain my choices. So be right back. And we're back. And the temptation to say that the burrower yearns for the mines was strong, but I want you to know that I resisted, except for this exact moment where I let you know that I was resisting because I said it then. Right, so burrower kin. So examples, volkin, molekin, gopherkin. We're going to add foxkin because the character that I'm making right now, for crying out loud. There we go. You are built for digging. While your choices are your own, many of your kin live and or work underground. Perhaps you rarely come to the surface, or perhaps you spend most of your time above ground and only return to your burrow to rest. It's where you and they tend to feel the safest. It's hard for an enemy to sneak up on you through a wall of earth, and it's easier for you to attack or defend when you know all the twists and turns like the back of your hand. So you gain the following characteristics. You don't get a GM intrusion if you roll a 1 on a navigation task while underground. If you've got a tunnel complex, you know your way around the tunnel complex. Is this funnier to me, having just created a character where on a whim I said they were bad at navigation? Absolutely. Absolutely it is. So they're bad at it, but they're not so bad at it that they can't undo something. They don't get so lost that they cause a cave-in. You are trained in mining, kind of on the nose there, and you inflict +1 damage with light, melee, or unarmed attacks if underground. So I'm doing that thing where I'm giving two different categories of attacks where they can get a +1, but adding the modifier of only in this situation. If you're underground doing this, you're doing more ambushy stuff, or you're backed into a corner. Like, you don't stick your hand into a den unless you've got a very thick glove and you know what's in there. And even then, you probably couldn't pay me enough to do it. Right, so I've added these already to our character sheet, which means I have one more thing to do. Oh, two more things. I gotta add Foxkin and, in this case, Kin Burrower. There we go. And I need to give them a name. I kind of want to name them Mulder, so I will. Anyone who takes this character to use as a pre-made is welcome to change that. But Fox Mulder, the pun is too strong. I'm for crying out loud. They quell evil, except they're Scully because they've got the red hair and they're a skeptic. But still, I think that's neat. I think that works. So going through, is there anything else I needed to do on here? I think that's everything. Ah, I already talked about the licensing. So friends, thanks for hanging out with me while I made this character for use in an upcoming campaign. Hopefully it'll be used. I'm making a bunch of pre-mades and we'll see if anyone picks them. I know a few players will actually just use the one they make themselves because they like making their characters to fit their needs specifically. But I also know some people who are going to be, oh, well, you have one made for me? And that is perfectly all right. I'm going to press the button to play me out. And the music you're hearing right now is Bubble Machine by Drozerix. It's public domain. Get it from modarchive.org. My website is where everything goes eventually, aaronbsmith.com. If it's not there, you'll find a link to it from there. Email me at cogwheel@aaronbsmith.com. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Help us keep the lights on along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Liv, Paul, Walter, and patron emeritus Cindy. Until next time, this is Crash saying, have fun.